Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. I want you to get out your Bibles, get out your phones, whatever you use to dig into the Scripture. I want you to get it out, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible is split into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is in the New Testament, and you're looking for 1 Corinthians. It shows up as 1 Corinthians, and then you're going to look for the large number 15. If you're using the Bible app, it's pretty easy to navigate. You just click on the scripture reference at the top, and then you can scroll through until you find 1 Corinthians, and then you click on 15, and that it will give you the number. If you're using a physical Bible, easiest thing to do is to flip to the front where the table of contents is and find 1 Corinthians, and then from there, flip until you find chapter 15. I'm going to read a few different verses out of this chapter, and I'm going to be jumping around a little bit. So we're going to start in verse 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, "For what I received," and this is Paul the Apostle speaking, "I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas," which is another name for Peter, "and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." In verse 17, it picks up. It says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when He comes, those who belong to Him." When we look at these passages, we see the Apostle Paul declaring very clearly that the resurrection is absolutely essential. If you want this Christian faith, if you want this idea of morality and God in your life, and you want to follow the Bible, there is an undeniable truth you need to hold on to, and that is that Christ rose from the dead. And if you believe that, if you trust in that, then there is salvation for you. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be changed in the present, and that you are given the promise of life everlasting, that the death that we will have on this earth is not a long, everlasting, permanent situation, but it is a temporary death. Paul declares that this is absolutely essential, and that if you're going to walk this life of faith and you're going to follow Jesus, then something you need to understand is that it is essential that Jesus died and came back to life. So here's the question. Did He actually do that? Did He actually rise from the dead? Or is this just something that we as a church and Christians and 2,000 years of tradition have just kind of accepted, and it's this thing that we hold on to? Or did it really happen? Well, I've asked the question, Let's do some work. One of the objections that you may have heard, maybe you are asking these questions, is you look at this Bible, you look at the resurrection, you look at the story of Jesus, and you go, well, you know what? Maybe Jesus didn't even live. Maybe he wasn't killed. He wasn't crucified. Maybe he didn't rise from the dead. Maybe the Jesus thing is just something that was made up a while ago, and it's just a good idea, like lots of other fictional stories that have really good meanings, really good ideas, but it's just not something, it's just not true. It's a good legend. It's a good myth that really inspires us. Well, the reality is that when you start doing your homework and you start doing the research, you will discover that it wasn't just the Bible that claimed that Jesus rose from the dead. And not that the Bible isn't a reliable source, because I believe it is, and that I have lots of good reasons and lots of good academic reasons to believe that the Bible is true. But if you look beyond the Bible, you actually find multiple sources that will confirm that Jesus was a real man and that he was actually crucified by the Romans. And you'll find sources who are not Christian. You'll find Jewish sources that claim that, and you will find Roman sources that will claim that. And if you dig and dig into the history, you'll actually find that there are no historians today that actually argue against Jesus living and being crucified. In today's world, there are a few people that deny it, but the academic world of historians have proven that Jesus was crucified. That is an undisputed fact, even in academia now. So I think we can hold and say that Jesus isn't just a mystical figure, and that his death on the cross isn't something that was just imagined and written for us religious folks. It has been historically proven that Jesus was crucified. Okay. So you can take that. But then there's this other piece that says, well, okay, maybe it's been historically proven that he lived and that he died, even that he was crucified, but what about him rising from the dead? Obviously, those stories, like Jesus died and that was that, and then they didn't actually come up with the resurrection story until much later. Like, they had people that liked him, who followed him. He was a good moral man. He was a good moral leader. But the story of him rising from the dead, that didn't come up until much, much later. Like, they told the stories over and over, and then the fish got bigger, right? The fish stories. The fish just kept bigging the more times. And so they told the story about Jesus, and Jesus just became greater and greater and greater until he conquered death. Well, the reality is that we have a lot of copies of the Gospels. And we have a lot of early copies, like copies that go back within like 100 years of when they were written. And we have very early copies and multiple copies that show that the Bible, the accounts, the gospel accounts were written very close to when the events actually happened. And when they happened, the culture wasn't a culture that would be writing down everything. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have newspapers. People weren't walking around videoing everything. And they didn't have multiple copies of the text. They didn't have the printing press. And so the culture wasn't used to just writing things down and having it recorded. They were an oratory culture that was used to telling stories through voice and having it confirmed or denied by witnesses in that culture. But even despite that being the normal way of doing things, the evidence shows that the Bible was actually, the Gospels were actually written between 40 and 60 years after the crucifixion, which is very close to the time. And when we look at the early church fathers, and so the disciples of the disciples, who were leading the church, they wrote about the resurrection of Christ. And so what we actually find is that the teaching that Jesus rose from the dead happened very, very early in the history of the church. Right away after he was killed, actually. And what that shows us is that the stories were around way too early to be legends. Okay. So history has proven that Christ was crucified. The stories about his resurrection were way too early to have just been legendary embellishment. Okay, what about these disciples, though? They wrote the stuff, they told the stories, they started the stories right from the beginning. It wasn't legend. Maybe the disciples just made up the stories right from the start and tried to get everybody rallied to their cause so that they could become this powerful, unstoppable political force in the world and could take over and change things, and that they would become the leaders of a global religion. Maybe the disciples just made up the resurrection. Well, there are a number of problems with that idea. Number one is that we are looking at their actions based on 2,000 years of history and saying, well, they knew that it was going to be adopted by the Roman Emperor in the 300s, and they knew that they would become this giant force, and they knew that there would be a pope, and they knew that the church would be this huge entity, and they knew that they could be, if they continued to tell these things, that they would be adopted into the history books as these great men. But they didn't know that. What they knew was that if they took a stand with Jesus and based on this belief of Jesus, that they and their families were going to be killed. They knew that they were going to lose their homes, that they were going to be put in prison, that they were going to be tortured, and they were going to be fed to animals, and they were and their families would be killed. They also... So what that tells us is that if they were telling people that Jesus rose from the dead and they knew that he hadn't risen from the dead, then they were willing to die for something they knew to be false. And people don't die for a known lie. People don't die for something they know to be untrue, especially if it's not going to benefit their family or their lineage. But there's another problem with this. When you look at the stories, if this was a lie and they were trying to convince people of it, they were terrible at it. There are a couple key pieces. Number one is that the disciples in the stories are idiots. Can you imagine going out, coming up with a story and giving it to the people and saying, believe us, we are these great leaders. We are these great leaders who missed every cue that Jesus ever gave us. Follow us because we're clueless. We're idiots. But in the stories, that's how they appear. They miss everything. Even when Jesus rises from the dead, they're like, nah, he didn't. If they were trying to create propaganda, they would have shown themselves to have been mighty men who knew about Jesus the whole time, who never failed, and were worthy of everyone following them. The second thing is, in that culture, women were not a valid witness. If a woman declared something to be true, they discredited it. It would be like if a certain presidential candidate got up and said that you should drink bleach to deal with a virus. Kind of discredits them, doesn't it? In that culture, for women to be the key witness of the resurrection, it was kind of like that. And so if they were trying to propagate this lie and convince people to go along with it, they were doing a terrible job. And the reality is, no one is that bad at lying. So I think it is safe to say that the disciples believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Okay? We know that he lived and he died. We know that it wasn't a legend. We know that they believed it. We know that the disciples, believed it. So why did they believe it? There had to be some kind of experience that led them to believing that he had risen from the dead. Well, maybe some people say maybe Jesus didn't die on the cross. Maybe he survived and they buried him and then he woke up and was like, "Ah, I'm still alive." And they got him up and they got him out of the tomb and he was fine. And then everyone was like, "Oh man, he rose from the dead." The other theory is that, well, maybe at some point in this process, they did a little switcheroo. They took, I don't know, one of Jesus' brothers, a lookalike, and they were like, "Jesus, duck in this closet." And then they switched spots, and this other guy died in place of Jesus. Well, there are a number of problems with that. Number one, when would that switcheroo have happened? Number two, they were surrounded by people all the time, multiple eyewitnesses. Number three, if Jesus had been injured but survived the cross, he wouldn't have been standing there triumphant. He would have been there next to death, bleeding out of everywhere, and he would have eventually died from his injuries. But there's one major problem with those theories, that either Jesus didn't actually die or that they swapped places. And that's that the Romans took killing seriously. The Romans did not become the world conquerors they were by making mistakes with death. If a Roman soldier let a prisoner go, that Roman soldier took that prisoner's place. These men were practiced killers. They understood death. They understood the responsibility they had as Roman soldiers to carry out the execution. They did not make mistakes when it came to death. They did not make mistakes when guarding prisoners. They did not make mistakes when killing someone. And the idea that, oh, they just forgot to really make sure he was dead, or that they just happened to let the prisoner get away, just doesn't make any sense when talking about the Romans. Okay, so it was Jesus that actually died on the cross. Okay. We're there. Okay, but what if the disciples just hallucinated the whole thing? What if it was just a hallucination? They're there, they're distraught, they're upset, they're angry, they're sad, they're frustrated, and they're just like, and then they're tired and they're hungry and they start having this vision and they see Jesus there, but it's actually just a hallucination. Maybe they just had a hallucination and that's where the story comes from. Well, there are a few problems with that. Number one, that a hallucination is a personal, individual, psychological event. Normally, if I'm hallucinating something, you aren't. Unless for some reason we're sharing the same brain. Which in that case, we've got some other issues that need to be worked out. But a hallucination really is an individual experience. And so the idea that Jesus appeared to multiple people at multiple times, or that he appeared to 500 at once, like mass hallucinations of that type aren't real. And whatever kind of mass vision could possibly exist only exists when people are in that heavy emotional state and somebody is planting the idea in their minds and continuing to feed that idea and continuing to feed the image that they think they saw. It would require somebody planting the idea and continuing to feed and plant the idea to convince people of the lie. But in that case, if somebody is feeding people a lie to create a mass vision, then we are back to no one dies for a known lie. And so without someone leading a lie, mass visions don't happen. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's say, let's ignore all this. Let's ignore all of this. Let's just say, okay, the disciples were just crazy. Let's just say that the disciples, they were willing to die for the lie. They just, for some reason, they believed it, and they were just going to go out, and they were going to tell people this, and they rallied everybody, and they got this thing going for one reason or another. They ignored all these things, and they, for some reason, somehow, they were able to get this story of the resurrection out there and tell people about it, and they told it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and made it this big deal. Maybe that's what it was. We run into a couple significant problems with that. And that's the reality that someone like Paul, also known as Saul, who actively persecuted the church, who made it his life mission to hunt down Christians, had a single experience that made him change a lifelong tradition and commitment he had held. We see that hundreds and thousands of people over a few short years decided that their generations of beliefs and traditions and culture and society were okay to be surrendered in order to follow this Jesus guy. That somehow this story was able to grab hold of strangers and people near and far away and radically change their life shows that there must have been something bigger than just a story going on. If I told you that eating chocolate will help you lose weight, you would all like that idea and you would all eat all the chocolate you could. Amen? Amen? Go home and eat the chocolate. Amen? What's going to happen? You're going to get fat. You're not going to lose weight. Look at me. I've tried. It's not working. Just because it's a good story that you like doesn't make it true because you test it out. But the thing with the story of Jesus is that something real was happening to people. Something real started to happen to people. something real happens to people. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We are all here, and we have all faced death. We all face the physical death, and we have all faced the death of sin in our lives. Some of you are dealing with anger that you are passing on to your kids. Some of you are facing depression and anxiety that's ruining your world. Some of you are facing situations where hate that you hold on towards people is backfiring, where shame is pushing love away, where mistakes are haunting you, where your selfishness constantly takes more than it gives. And you are overwhelmed with being pointless, hopeless, and bringing everyone else down around you. And that is your life until you interact with the living Christ, who then fills your life with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Historically, it's been proven that Jesus was crucified. The stories were too early to be legends. People don't die for a known lie, and no one is that bad at lying. The Romans took killing seriously, and with mass visions don't happen without someone leading a lie, and no one dies for a known lie. And something real happened to people back at the time of the resurrection, and something still happens. Something real still happens to people now. If you are here today and you have met the risen Jesus, Jesus alive, and He has made a real difference in your life, I want you to stand up. Don't stand up just because anybody else is doing it. If you're here and you're like, I believe this stuff, but I don't know if I've really met Jesus, don't stand up. You feel free to sit down. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. That is not what this is about. But if you are here today and you have met Jesus and He has made a real difference in your life, I want you to stand. That is evidence. Your experience, but also the experience of those around you. When you meet the living Jesus, when you meet the living Christ, something real happens to you. Have a seat. The worship team's going to come up and they're going to do one more song here. But this is what I need. This is what I need you guys to grab hold of. If you are here today, and you have encountered Christ, and that is real to you, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of the resurrection life that He has given you. If you are here today and you believe this stuff, but you're not sure if you've actually ever experienced or met the living Jesus, I want to tell you something, that is something He wants for you. That is something you need in your life. That is something that is going to radically change you, and that is something that we as a church should be pursuing. And you can look around you and you can see others who have experienced that as a testimony that that is real, that is available, and it is not something that is supposed to be strange. It is supposed to be something that you get. So pursue it. Don't settle for just, this is a good moral idea and I like this, these values. Don't settle for that. Passionately seek to meet and encounter Jesus, because something real will happen. And if you're here today and you don't know if you believe this stuff, or you don't know where you land on this stuff, and you're thinking through these things, and maybe these things are standing out to you, maybe they're not, but maybe these things are just, you feel this tug of, well, maybe Jesus really did die, and maybe he did rise from the dead, but maybe you're thinking, I don't know about this Christianity thing, I don't know about the church thing, or whatever. But if you feel like it is possible, probable, that Jesus rose from the dead, that is something you've got to wrestle with. Because if he actually rose from the dead, you can probably believe everything else he said. And it's not about, are you going to believe every word of the Bible? It's not, are you going to go to church? It's, are you going to trust the man who said he was going to die and rise again, and then he actually did it? And if you are here today, and you've never taken that step of faith, and you've never admitted that to yourself, you've never said that to God, and you've never made that declaration that I want to follow you, and I want to meet you, Jesus, now is the time to do it. As we sing this next song, if you want to talk about that, or you just want to take that step to declare that, take that chance, that step of faith into the unknown, I want you to come up front and kneel at these altars and just say to God, I want to follow you and I want to meet you. Because when you meet the living Christ, something real happens to you.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.